Thank you, Luke and Sally. Well, it is good to be back. We had a great time down south and enjoyed our vacation. And thank you all for allowing us to do that, get refreshed a bit, and getting back into town, getting back into the swing of things. And first thing we're going to start off with is our memory verse. I forgot to do that the first service. Sorry, guys. Do you even have it up there?
Sure. Yep.
Okay, look at that. And this is the last time that we're going to read this month. And we move on to a new scripture passage next month. So let's say that together. We're going to read the scripture reference in the verse and then the reference again. I just love this verse. Here we go. Isaiah 49:16a. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Isaiah 49:16a. Never forget that, folks. We're engraved in the palms of God's hands. Well, a year after Stacy and I returned home from our three-year stint in Japan, there was an earthquake in 1994. It hit the island, and it destroyed a lot of buildings. It destroyed, in fact, one of the buildings in which both Stacy and I worked in Kobe, right there on the island. It was a 7.7 earthquake on the Richter scale. It was devastating. Now, the Japanese mafia made the news because they were the first to start out handing water and food to people who were in need. A couple weeks, in fact, before the government could really get out and start their efforts. And you're kind of thinking, wow, these people are really wanting to be liked, right? And so they're handing out those things. And it seems a bit out of the ordinary. In fact, it is out of the ordinary for a crime syndicated group to go out and pass out water and food to help people. But also out of the ordinary was a man who needed food for his family, and being desperate, he went into the grocery store, which had been also devastated by the storm and badly damaged, and he loaded up on food. But unlike us here in America, you know, where you see us on the news when bad things happen and stores are wide open and stuff like that, we just like to go in and take stuff. You see people walking out with TVs and all those sorts of things on the news. Well, he did something different. He wrote a detailed note to the owner as to what he had taken and promised that after the banks were back open and he could get back to the store, he would come back and pay in full. So he leaves his name, his address, and his phone number. And the Japanese man apparently had faith in that store owner that everything would be okay, the owner would be understanding, and he was. The man went back and paid, and the owner was understanding of what took place. Now, Sally Everett, she doesn't know I'm going to be talking about her today, but she did something out of the ordinary. She trained for a half marathon for the first time and ran the race and did it well. It was something kind of unusual, special, memorable, probably painful for her. But in the realm of how many people do those types of things, it was outstanding because there aren't many people that have run a half marathon, let alone a marathon. It was a lot of hard work. However, she had faith that she could do it, and so she trained and did it. In a sense, it was faith that caused these two, the guy from Japan and a person like Sally, it was faith that these two did something out of the ordinary. And so a question I would have for you is, have you ever done something out of the ordinary? Something totally different. It would mean something unusual or exceptional or remarkable, extraordinary, unexpected, surprising, special, exciting, memorable, noteworthy, unique, or even outstanding. I would argue if you're a person of faith, certainly you have done something like that. And some of us here at church 9 years ago, you know, we started reading through the entire Bible every year. One person came to me this just today, finished early, gave me, I loaned out a Bible I have not read yet and said, try this one. This one might be cool. And they read through it. They already finished it and brought it back to me. And then I was talking to somebody in the Sunday school class from downstairs, and they got their new study Bibles. They're going to go through the entire Bible verse by verse again, using all the study notes and then all those little verses in between. And I believe, somebody correct me if they're in that class, I think the first time they did this, it took them 9 years. That's what somebody told me. Huh?
Correct.
It took 9 years. So they're going another 9 years, folks, to go through the Bible. That's pretty crazy. Well, recently also some of us stopped watching junk news. That's out of the ordinary. By the way, reading the Bible through cover to cover is out of the ordinary, not just in the secular world. It's out of the ordinary in the Christian realm. Now, some of you have decided to live lives of faith and joy instead of bitterness, negativity, and drama. That also, believe it or not, is out of the ordinary. Well, Jesus did so many things that were out of the ordinary. I mean, he healed the blind, the lame, those that had leprosy. I mean, he just went crazy doing things out of the ordinary. And he forgave sin and was so out of the ordinary, he was the only one ever to give up his life and unjustly was crucified. Then, of course, he rose from the dead. How out of the ordinary is that? So that we could be forgiven and we could, of course, live life to the fullest, which we talk about all the time. Now, those actions are unique to Christ alone. No one has ever done anything like that except for Jesus Christ. So I want you to imagine for a moment that this beautiful sanctuary was full. I mean packed. It's just, it's crazy, breaking all codes. It's a fire hazard. There are people hanging off the balcony. We've got chairs along the side. We've got people sitting up here. We've got people lined up around the block. Doug Everett, you know, he's the fire guy, so he's freaking out because what happens if a fire breaks out? Everybody's going to get trapped and all sorts of things. And it'd be a great problem to have, wouldn't it? I mean, to see a church full to the brim. Certainly it'd be out of the ordinary. And so here we are in that church, it's packed, and we're listening to the words of Jesus. And so while the service is going on, you know, the ceiling caves in. Plaster comes falling through, and maybe an air conditioning unit falls and onto the ground, and it hits the floor. People are screaming, babies are shouting and crying, several people are scurrying about, they're thinking it's the end of the world. And when the dust settles, no one is injured. And those of us that are in the sanctuary, we look up, we see this big gaping hole, and it's like a Frankenstein movie. You've seen those old Frankenstein movies, right? You've got these four guys, and they're lowering down this guy in a gurney, and somebody's shouting, "He's alive," kind of thing. It's kind of this freaky thing happening. Most of the folks that are looking on, most of us would be in disbelief, and some of us might be angry at what these folks were doing, some scared, but the person in the gurney has this big smile on his face because he had not been to church for a long time, and he finally made his way into the church. His friends on the roof were looking up, they're looking down, they're fist pumping, they're excited, they got their buddy down into church, and I think safely we could say that that would be a bit out of the ordinary to happen during a church service. Well, the same thing happened. You guys know, probably know where I'm going. The same thing happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus had returned to his home in Capernaum. And so he starts talking to people. And I want to pick up the story in Mark chapter 2, if you want to look it up. Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And here's what it says. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. And they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the man who was lying on the mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some leaders of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow," in other words, Jesus, "why does Jesus talk like that? He blasphemes. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that that's what they were talking about and thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And so he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." So he got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." What a great story. 2,000 years ago. You know, a lot of times us pastors, we talk about the healing of the paralyzed man, or the reaction of the teachers to the law, and they declared Jesus was blasphemous towards God, because only God, you know, could forgive sins. We even talk about who Jesus really is using this passage. Who is Jesus? And that's all good stuff. It's all well. It's all very good. And I think it's all right, too, as far as Scripture goes. But what I want to talk to you about is the faith in this story. Because faith is full of inventions. Faith finds a way to get things done. Faith will do something out of the ordinary. I mean, Jesus' house was full, same, you know, standing room only, doors blocked, windows full of people, but faith found a way of getting to Jesus and placing in front of Jesus a paralyzed man. Five men had faith in this story, and I'm sure there were more, but in this particular unit here, five men had faith, the four friends and the paralyzed guy who was let down. And so this little house that Jesus taught in, as it was built some 2,000 years ago, they say it had these big beams or big posts that go across the roof, and then they put these big heavy branches on top of that, and then they overlay the whole house, the whole roof, with packed mud or packed clay. So it was very sturdy. You could get up, you could walk on it, you could have a barbecue on it. I mean, you could sleep on it. They were very tough. But there is one thing you could do. You could dig through it. Now here's the thing. These guys could not get to Jesus by ordinary means. They couldn't get in the front door. They couldn't get through the windows. So they had to do the extraordinary. They had to do something unexpected. And in our term, I would say it was something very outstanding. They seemed to have so much faith that Jesus could heal this man that they were willing to do the crazy, to break through the roof. That ran the risk of shocking everyone that's sitting there. It could have hurt somebody. Think about the person who owned the house, right? What's going to happen now? Where's farmer's insurance? Who's going to pay for all this? Who's going to take care of all of that? People scurrying about. In this case, faith went all out for healing and forgiveness. If we cannot get people to Jesus by ordinary means, we must use and do the out of the ordinary things. We must do the unique, the outstanding, the unexpected. And that will lead people to Jesus. So we can't get prisoners to church. For an example, I was thinking about this. We can't get prisoners to church, can we? So what do? We send Pastor Tim out to the jail, to the prison, and that's where he leads people to Jesus. Some of those folks have been coming here. Now you might say, well, that's ordinary. No, it's not. How many of you do it? There's one in our group, right? So it's something that we do as a church that's out of the ordinary. We can't get people to church on Sunday a lot of the times, but we can tell them about Jesus where? Over at the Cedars. Tim's got a nice little story. Hopefully he'll end us up with that same story he told us in the first service. But nice little area over there where we can talk to people about Jesus. We have trouble convincing our kids that Jesus is the way and truth and life. So we have several people in the church who are out mentoring younger people going through the Boone County Mentoring Service over here. And boys and girls, mentoring boys and girls. We have people who have become coaches of sports teams and tutors who help kids with their math and other subjects. And we do all of this while the rest of the world goes into retirement on golf courses or on the beach or whatever tickles their fancy. Now, you may think that some of those things are ordinary, but they're not. In our world today, none of that is ordinary. That's out of the ordinary. So Jesus was there to heal, and whatever might happen in that story 2,000 years ago, faith actually ventured out in creativity just so that paralyzed man could be healed and receive forgiveness. What if we had more daring in bringing people to Jesus? What if faith for us became inventive or creative and our minds are opened up? What if you personally did something out of the ordinary to bring someone to Jesus or to share his love with others? Fact is, Jesus did something out of the ordinary for each and every one of us. So we've got to believe that when faith and love are set on leading people to Jesus, all creative ways of getting there are pretty good. The Apostle Paul had such great faith. I mean, he was a guy that did it all. He was so engaged with his faith. He loved Jesus so much. He had a knack for doing things out of the ordinary. Turn with me to Corinthians 9, starting in verse 19. We'll read a little bit about that. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. Paul says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, even though I myself was not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became the weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some." And listen to this. "I do this, all this, for the sake of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ." He wants to lead people to Jesus, "that I may share in its blessings." So you might think, well, listen, Pastor Dave, I'm 60 years old. What can I do through faith to lead people to Jesus that is out of the ordinary? Well, you can spend time with young adults. You realize that's out of the ordinary, don't you? It is. We have all these generational differences and freaky things going on. It's out of the ordinary for seniors and young adults just to sit down and talk and love on one another. There's one woman in the church who takes college and career people and couples out to lunch. There's another woman who, at the end of our Dave Ramsey courses, the Financial Peace University, at the end of each one, she invites all of them over to her house for the last lesson and prepares a wonderful meal. Congratulations, guys. Well done. She's a senior. And she does that for those kids. There's another person who constantly sends out cards of encouragement. A couple of men here, I mentioned mentors, some others. A couple ladies, too. And again, you might think those things are out of the ordinary. They don't sound like the most exciting, outstanding things ever. But I'm telling you, they're out of the ordinary. Who sends encouragement cards? What is that? Most kids don't even know what the mail is anymore, except for on the computer, right? Try sending some encouragement cards out to young people. Young people, try sending some encouragement cards out to the older folks. Yeah, no. You're talking about not sending to mom and dad, right? You know, Ron and Beth Forsyth and Nikki, they lead our youth. And that's, the youth is one of the hardest things in the church. I don't care what church you go to. And it's not because the youth are bad. It's just our society has so changed. But you know, they lead our youth, and it's because Jesus invested in them that they want to invest in others. And you know, most people today, what do we want to do? We want to invest in ourselves. We want to buy this, want to have this, want to have that, the best house. We want to go on these vacations. We want to do all sorts of stuff to please ourselves. We have to stop for a moment and remember that Jesus didn't invest in himself. He invested in you. He invested in me. And as Christians, as a light in the world, we are to invest ourselves in others. Faith in Jesus is so powerful, it can transform our lives into people who dig through roofs and let people in to see the power of Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen of faith, I think it's time for us to ramp it up. We've got it. We've got it here. And we can make it happen. We can lead others to Jesus. We can go and do the extraordinary in showing people the way, the truth, and the life. We can change Lebanon through the power of Jesus Christ. And then from here, go to the ends of the earth. If our faith is out of the ordinary, if it's inventive, if we're creative in what we do. As the band sings our closing song, maybe, you know, you've struggled with Christ or whatever it may be. You know, you need to come to know Jesus. Maybe it's baptism you seek or whatever it may be. I'd love for you to come and pray with us this morning at the end of the service. See Tim or I or maybe one of our deacons come up and pray with you. Others will be here to pray with you as well as we close the service. But just know this, that Jesus loves you. He's invested so much into you. It is time for us to invest in others. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, help us to be roof diggers. Help us to climb to the top of the roof and just start digging. Digging, digging, digging until we get this big old hole so everybody can see who you are. Help us to be extraordinary in our faith, doing those things that you ask us to do. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for loving us, giving your life for us, rising for us, so that we can do these things. Would you bless each person in this house today? Those that don't know you as Savior and Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will work in their lives today, that they will say yes today, rededicate their lives, whatever it is, Lord, so that they can be drawn closer to you, to know you, and then go out and make you known. Thank you for loving us. In your name we pray.